John Barry, Monty Norman, of course, iconographic film theme and iconographic film moments. Well, they are many and mellifluous, but the magical ones always remain with us. E.T. Phone Home, for instance. Joy, of course, those sequences in Brief Encounter, where we actually have the parting in the railway station.
Oh, yes.
It's got something in your eye, etc. We've all got those magical movie moments.
Beautiful.
And being part of one of those magical movie moments, specifically being part of the creation of a character who, had it not been for Guy Hamilton, would probably have been in every single Bond movie, and rightly so too, because she's been by far the sexiest of all the Bond women in all sorts of ways.
Nearly on now.
Is inevitably the character of Sylvia Trench, played of course by Eunice Gayson, and we say those magical words, Eunice Gayson, are you indeed there?
I certainly am. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Wonderful to touch base with a good self. I tell you, last week, Eunice, it was the plot worthy of a Bond movie in itself.
It was, wasn't it?
There we were, all set and ready to build up the whole scenario. We had Matt Monroe's daughter, Michelle Monroe, building up with From Russia with Love. All the connections were there. And thanks to that TV company, or indeed that telecommunications company, slicing through the cables, you were cut off.
I certainly was for 2 days. I had absolutely no way of ringing you or you reaching me.
Thank heavens we managed to liaise via agents and telepathy. That's the important thing.
Do you not have a mobile phone, Eunice?
Yes, I do, but unfortunately...
We didn't have those details.
Oh, no, what a shame.
It was a mess all round, but I'm here now.
Precisely so. Now, it goes beyond the character of Sylvia Trench, because I was actually doing a little bit more research into the delights of your catalogue, and I came across one of those fantastic Avengers moments where, of course, you were the quintessential dance instructor. Yes, we're talking of the quick, slow death, in which you provide a whole range of terpsichore and delightful scenarios. And I was thinking of you actually joining your Morris dancing. Actually,
oh really?
This was more ballroom dancing. But just a wonderful scenario. I mean, we use the term at the start of iconographic units, and you know, the Avengers, From Russia with Love, The Saint, Danger Man. I mean, there's a whole wealth of classic. I mean, the Hammer horror scenario, etc. It's a standard question, but did you sort of think when you were doing those things in the 60s that you think, yeah, in the 21st century, they'll still be talking about this?
Oh, absolutely not. But listen, I'm full of surprises. I'll tell you what, I was originally trained for opera, and I thought I was going to be an opera singer. And the mentor, who was looking after me and my career at that stage, and he was convinced I was going right to the top of the operatic tree, he suddenly died. And then all my plans changed. And then I was offered a theatrical role in a play, and I love acting anyway, and I took that, and that sort of got me away. And of course, with opera, you've got to keep at it day after day, you know. You can't just let it go. And of course, when you're declaiming with theatrical speech, it's not good for the operatic pipes. You know what I mean? It's a different ball game, and my speaking voice got deeper and my singing voice got higher. It was really weird, and I had to make a decision as to which way I was going to go. And as there seemed to be more opportunities for me, and I was very, very young at the time, my mother was making the decision for me as well as myself, I thought, well, I'll go the operatic route, but I was going to be an operatic singer.
Well, that explains the sultry tender of your voice with respect to, obviously, those Dr. No and From Russia with Love scenarios, really. I kind of flippantly said that had it not been for Guy Hamilton, you probably would have been a Bond, you would have effectively been the equivalent of Miss Moneypenny appearing in the whole setup. Was that something which at the time you thought, this is outrageous, I should be in every Bond movie? I've done From Russia with Love, I've done Dr. No, but then there was the decision, he's a philanderer. You can't have James Bond with a regular girlfriend. It's just not going to happen.
Well, what the original... idea was, with Terence Young, the director of Dr. No and From Russia with Love, I'd made 3 films for Terence in the past, all sort of different kinds of roles, and he rang me up one day and he said, look, we've created this role, Sylvia Trench, now what I want and plan is for her to be in the first 6 films, And just as you and James Bond get to it, the sexy bit, he's always called away. Mm. And then in the
I can identify with that, but sorry.
Well, oh, I know, doesn't it always happen? And anyway, on the sixth film, we do get together, and I was supposed to marry him, and he married me. Mm. Yeah. That was supposed to be the end because they originally planned only six. Mm. I mean, who knew it was always 15 years later? It was still going strong.
Indeed. On the plus
and
side,
and of course, when Sean left because he fell out with the producers about money, and I suppose rightly so in a way because he was on a very low salary and they were making quite a good bundle out of it, and Terence Young, who was very loyal to Sean, he said, if he goes, I go. So when Sean left, Terence did leave, and the guy Hamilton, who was the next director in line, did not want any preconceived ideas. And so, and I was all this time in The Sound of Music anyway, starring at the Palace Theatre, and singing my heart out there. And, of course, Rodgers and Hammerstein would only let me do a small part because they didn't want me, A, tiring myself out, and I certainly couldn't go away on location because they wouldn't release me.
Mm. On the plus side, you could actually argue that in the sixth Bond movie on Her Majesty's Secret Service, Diana Riggs' character of Tracy does actually get shot in the final reel.
That's
so,
right.
You know, let's be honest. You know, at least you're still with us. That's the important thing. Sunny, you were obviously doing some wonderful research into Eunice last week. Questions from yourself?
I just want to know, for the first two Bond movies, obviously you had quite the lead female role. I mean, what kind of...
In fact, I'll go further. Our other lass from Surrey, Natalie Smith, who couldn't be with us this afternoon, but she's working on the website, when she caught up with Dr. No and from Russia With Love, she said, this woman is gorgeous, she said. And she's also from Surrey. So there we are. It was a win-win situation.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, I was, as I say, starring in The Sound of Music at the Palace Theatre, and any time that I could film that Rodgers and Hammerstein would allow me off to do so was so welcome. Pardon me, I've got a bit of a cough. And, of course, you know, it's very difficult when you've got matinees on a Wednesday, on Saturday, in a leading role. You know, you can get very tired because when you film, you're up at... Well, I had to be at the studio by 5:30 in the morning. And then, of course, they had to get a helicopter to, and they used to take me from the studio to the Westminster pad and then get a taxi from the Westminster pad to the theatre. And some days I only just made it, and Rodgers and Hammerstein were getting a bit nervous about it. And in a way, I thought it was fate when I was told that Guy Hamilton coming in did not want any preconceived idea, and so the whole idea of the six films with Sean was scrapped.
I'm just thinking, Joyce, so like your own life as you get the helicopter to work and back, and it's all sorted through. It's
exciting.
Very, very true. It's a glamorous routine. Exciting. Questions for yourself, please.
Well, I'm just looking, actually, at a photograph of you. I think it's probably taken from Alex's book that he's got of all the Bond girls and everything. Because he's obviously such a big fan. But you've got a golf club in your hand and you're obviously about to whack a golf ball across the room and hit Sean Connery in the head with it, I think.
To be precise, it's the moment when...
I mean, I had never played golf. It just so happened I never had. And they had a golf woman expert on the set to show me how to hold the club as if I really knew what I was doing, and I did explain that I'd never played one single game of it, and so Terence, the director, said, well, don't worry because we've got a professional here and we'll cut some extra shots and cut it in. And so as long as you look as if you can play, when the ball takes off, don't worry. And Sean laughed and said, look, I've been playing this game for years, and I've never holed in one yet. Now, I'm still hopeful that one day, so don't worry about it. So I didn't worry about it, and I just headed for the hat that was on the floor, and I teed off, I believe they call it, and it went straight in. Really? Well, of course, the whole set fell into paroxysms of laughter, including Sean, who fell on the floor and couldn't stop laughing. The director was furious. He said, "Oh, my God," he said, "we'll never get that again. Sean, how could you laugh like that?" He said, "How could I? I have never, ever, ever hold in one." And here's this beginner, first shot, goes to, I said, "Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do?"
Exactly.
And, you know, I didn't think it was anything extraordinary. So anyway, then I started to get nervous, didn't I? Because they told me how difficult it was. And I thought, what are they talking about? Anyway, I did it again. And this time it went in again. And, of course, Sean was uncontrollable. He just fell on the floor, roaring with laughter, and even the director broke up in laugh, laugh, laugh. So I said, "Look, folks, you know, please."
I am a professional. You were a professional.
Consummate.
The professional was standing there, and she said, "My God, you're a natural." She said, "I could train you up. You could be a champion. I mean, this is amazing." So anyway, I started to get really nervous with all this praise because I didn't know that it was supposed to be difficult. And then, of course, the director said, "Now, laughter time is over. We've got to get it in the shot now. Now, Sean, you'd laugh one more time and set. If you laugh, chaps, you're all fired. We've got to get this in the can." And of course, sorry about this cough.
No worries, no pressure.
Thank you. And then, of course, the third time I missed it. Mm. Well, then everybody went as well, screaming with laughter, you know. And I mean, I thought, oh, goodness me. And so, of course, a professional in the end had to do the shot. You know,
oh,
I mean,
what shame, though.
It was a cute, cute story, and it really happened.
But wow. Remember the classic line, "There, now you've made me miss it."
Yeah, not true, not true. Well, I mean, he made me miss it.
Exactly. It's always the way.
That's why the director put that line in. He said, "We've got to put that in now." And that's what made Sean double up the third time. And how he made me miss it.
You wouldn't have had that challenge with Patrick McNee or Roger Moore, but we'll go into a different line.
But luckily I'd known Sean for many years, and, you know, we were such good chums, it didn't really matter, but we had a great time that day.
Absolutely.
But it cost the company quite a lot of money, you know, because of all the time that we wasted on this shot.
Well, you know, these things, it's the art, that's the whole thing, Eunice. Rebecca, questions for yourself.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch, like, quite a lot of the Bond movies for a long time. So which one out of Dr. No and From Russia With Love should I watch first, and why?
Well, I guess, look, the first one, we didn't know what we had. I mean, we really didn't. I went to the first showing of it, and I thought either it's going to be a smash hit, or it could fail terribly, because it was shot tongue-in-cheek, really, you know, and everybody played it like that, and of course, hitherto that film, there had never been a film like that, with a sort of romantic, devil-may-care character like James Bond, and it was such a famous character in literature that everybody had their own ideas of that character. So I thought, well, this, you know, I just didn't know which way the cookie would crumble, whether or not it would take off, or whether it, and I was absolutely staggered. We all were when it was such a smash hit. And so I think the first one, when, because Sean, you know, to start with, he didn't believe he was right for it. I mean, I remember the night before he came to my flat where I was staying with my then fiancé, who turned out to be my husband.
Strange how fiancés can do that.
Well, it doesn't always happen, does it?
Very true, exactly.
And I remember Sean saying, "Oh God, I don't know what they're doing. What
I'm
they're
Scottish."
Thinking. He said, "I'm not suave. I'm not sophisticated. You know, all right. So I did a good test, but can I do it for real?" And we said, "Of course you can. Of course you can." But he wasn't at all sure, and he was so nervous. The next day, which was the first day of the first shoot of the film, and I had to say, "And you are," and all he had to say was, "The name's Bond, James Bond." And of course, I didn't realize and didn't know and could never, ever have guessed that there were so many permutations of the name James Bond. He went mad. He said, "The name's Bond, James. It is Sean Bond. It is." And take after take after take. The director came running on the set, biting his nails. The producer came running on the set, biting the other set of nails, thinking, I'm sure, what have we done here? Oh, my God.
We've got a
God,
Scotsman as James Bond, an English icon. What's going on here?
I know. We can't even get the first shot in the can. And, you know, and the director, Terence Young, who was directing the film, said to me, "For goodness sake, we'll call it an early lunch. Eunice, take him into the commissary." This was at Pinewood, where we shot Bond films. And he said, "Get him a little drunk." Well, he said, "But not too much, that he can't remember his lines." Now, it just so happened that Sean had decided to get really fit for the film. You know, he'd been working out and he'd given up the booze. Totally. And I said, "But, you know, if you give him a drink, he hasn't drunk, to my knowledge, for months. And last night he was in my home and he drank milk." And I said, "You can't do this because you don't know where it's going to lead. He might, oh, God." And they said, "Well, what else can we do? He's so uptight." And take after take after take, he couldn't say James Bond. So anyway, I took him into the commissary. And in those days, I didn't drink at all. Not that I drink a lot now. I throw that in for good measure.
Exactly.
And just to clarify things, you do understand.
Of course.
And I said, "Come on, Sean, I'm a bit nervous." Not that he's nervous. "I'm a bit nervous. I feel like a drink." He said, "You drink? I've never known." I said, "Yeah, I feel like a drink. Come on, join me." And then he had one drink. And I thought, oh, he does look a bit more relaxed. And then he said, "Always think I'll have another one." I said, "Well, Sean, no,
steady,
I don't
steady,
think
whoa.
It's a good idea." Well, he had three. And I just had the one, and I felt lightheaded. So anyway, when we went back on the set, I was really apprehensive as to what he was going to do. And, you know, he sat
It could be shaken, down. It could be not stirred, it could be not stirred, it could be shaken. We don't know.
Absolutely. And he just absolutely took it in his stride with a sardonic thing and blew all his fears away. They just disappeared. And he felt so relaxed and at home. He did it straight away, first take after lunch. And when the director said to him, "Oh, Sean," he said, "please, just when you come tomorrow, I just want you to keep that lovely sardonic quality you had today. Can you do that for me?" He said, "I'll try, but I can't remember what the hell I did." I couldn't remember.
That's the magic. I love the way it was Trench, Sylvia Trench, Bond, James Bond. It all works together. So, thank heavens. It's the most important thing.
And, of course, by that time, I was almost doolally. And, in fact, when we came to do the first after lunch, he was word perfect. And I went completely. Because, of course, I had one drink, which to me was like a mountain of alcohol.
The things you do for the craft.
We
haven't even had a chance to talk about Terpsichorean training techniques taught by Lucille Banks, but that'll come up at another time. Lucille, I'm moving into a whole range of things there. Eunice, it's been absolutely delightful to share some movie classic memories with you, good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us here on the Midweek Drive?
Absolutely.
So can we prevail upon you, good self, to join us again in the not-too-distant future?
Of course, yes.
I'm particularly interested in Miss Robin Hood, directed by John
Kinnaman.
Oh,
gosh. yes.
A mild-mannered writer of wild adventure novels for young girls finds himself presented with an intriguing proposition from an elderly fan. She suggests that they conspire together to steal the whiskey formula from the distillers who took it from her family many years ago.
Yes, that was just about my first leading role in films. I was very, very young, and I was up against Joan Collins for the part, would you believe?
Well, the bottom line, Eunice, you've always been far sexier to me than Joan Collins. But
oh,
there we are.
Hey, steady on the puff.
Down, boy.
Eunice Gayson will return. For the moment, we salute you. Many thanks indeed.
Bye.
Bye. Easy come, easy go. That's just how you live or take.